The Questing Dude.
Today we're talking to Eduardo of Nuclear Manatee. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Max. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, no problem. It's a pleasure to talk to all of these wonderful creators this month. Do you want to introduce yourself and let us know what you do in the indie tabletop role-playing game scene?
Okay, let's see. I'm not quite active on the international scene, I suppose. I'm Italian, so I mainly do things in the Italian scene, mainly in the indie scene. I have a blog. I do a few YouTube videos. I help organizing some convention. I occasionally translate some one-page RPG free games, and I play a lot.
Well, that's good. You know, it's good to play as well as create, so kudos, really. Yeah, and you're putting out a zine for Zine Quest 3. Do you want to give us a little bit of an elevator pitch as to what that is?
Yes, it's a full-fledged game. It's called Little Skittity Party.
Mm-hmm.
I first developed the core of the game during 200 World RPG in 2018.
Yeah.
And the game talks about the imaginary friends a little girl says, and those friends escort her during the difficult times of her childhood.
Right.
So all you know is Katie is no longer with us, with the friends, and you basically play to find out how much were you able to protect her and what happened to her.
Well, that sounds both cool and also kind of creepy and scary, so that sounds really nice.
Yes,
originally when you pitched it to me, I thought, oh, that sounds really cute, and like as the pitch went on, I sort of thought, oh, that's got a lot darker. So yeah, no, I really like the sound of that. So what sort of stories does it kind of tell and support?
Okay, so before that, yes, it works in both ways. It has for sure a cute side, for sure a more darker side.
Right.
I work pretty hard to give players the liberty to choose which stone they prefer, or even a mix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you choose a backdrop or a scenario in the beginning, or you create your own and then you play it.
Right.
And every scenario has a certain level of darkness or cuteness, as you prefer.
Yeah.
About the stories. Actually, you are living a story, the one about the friends, for telling another stories, the one about Katie.
Yeah.
And Katie's story is about a child who needs to grow and overcome the difficulties of her childhood.
Yeah.
Trivial one, or even more serious, depending on the tone.
Mm-hmm.
While the story you play as friend is a story about leading by example, and ultimately a story about parenthood, about being able to walk Katie, your friend, ultimately, to her childhood.
That really speaks to me as a parent as well as a role player. I think that sounds
like
a really interesting way to explore that space. I think the space of role playing games that are not for children but about children is really interesting. And like the ones that I can think of tend to have this kind of slightly dark undertone as well. Like I'm thinking of Heroine and Girl Underground, and
yes,
the one that really rings out to me is One Child's Heart. I don't know if you've heard of this game, but it's like it's a very dark story, but it's also really kind of cool and hopeful, and it's about these sort of things about leading by example and doing good and doing right by children. So that sounds very much up my street. I'm really excited to hear a bit more about it. Do you want to tell us a little bit about what the characters sort of, not what they do, because you told us that, but who they are and how they fit into the world around them?
Okay, they are imaginary friends. So basically,
right.
Yes, you can be a toy from a Katie's toy, spring to life by her imagination, or you can be totally imaginary. Happy, the Netflix series and also the comics based on are huge inspiration. Actually, Happy was broadcasted on Netflix during the same time I wrote the first draft, so there is no doubt there is an inspiration.
Right.
Basically, the character is whatever you want. I usually go with a very precise suggestion how you should build your character. When you play Little Squidity Party, you should build your character with these three pillars. The first is you have a question in the scenario you have to answer. This is the first pillar, and you use it to bind your character to the scenario. This is easy. Okay. The second pillar is shared pop culture. So you play with your friends with some acquaintances. Make sure to make in your character some reference to the pop culture. Maybe some reference when you're a child. You can build a bridge to the other players. The third pillar is make your character about something you care about your childhood. Maybe your favorite toy. Maybe right. Your imaginary friends. So this way the character is also binded to you and you feel it.
That's really interesting. It's great to kind of bring all of those like levels of experience in there and like having touchstones that other people can immediately like grip onto and building characters based on your own experiences, because that's going to make the gameplay more immersive for you. So yeah, I find that really interesting. Nice way to define it.
You can also use just a sprinkle of all three or lean on. It's your choice. The game works either way.
Well, that sounds really interesting. Do you want to tell us a little bit about how the main loop of play works? What is it that the players do themselves when they're playing this?
Maybe this is the forte of the game. The players are drinking tea because the game is meant to play in a proper tea party. Even when I play online, I make tea.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yes. So there was a few iterations about the tea drinking, but it's definitely part of the game.
Right.
And now you're drinking tea as a part of the conversation, actually.
Yeah.
Because in a tea party, I'm picturing a stereotypical kind of Victorian tea party. You speak, and when you drink tea, is because you want to shade you and avoid to speak out loud.
Yeah.
So in the game, it works in the same way. When you don't want to speak, you drink tea.
Right.
And this is also how you resolve conflicts.
Right.
Conflicts in the game challenge you in the role you have to do stuff. And if you want to back down, you drink tea.
Like I've heard a lot of game interviews, and like I see a lot of stuff in the indie space, and there are loads of like these small, quite sweetly themed story games that are coming out at the moment that have food as a kind of fundamental element to it. We talked about it on Yes Indeed with Kate John's Winter Harvest, which I've mentioned a few times. That game ends in a meal, which is really nice. And there was also I had an interview a few months ago with another designer who'd based their game on the Great British Bake Off, which I think is really cute as well, you know. So there's all these kind of ways of connecting to culture and to other people through drinking tea and eating food. And I think that's really interesting that you've picked up on this space as well, because that's, yeah, like tea and the drinking of tea is an important part of, as you said, Victorian culture. And this tea party thing is really interesting because it has this mood and there are rules about it, and different things mean different things. Sorry, that was a kind of semantically null sentence, but it's really interesting that you've then tied the mechanics of your game back to how you're drinking that tea. What happens when you finish a cup?
You pour another if you want.
Of course.
Yeah. Full disclosure. In the early version of the game, the tea was like a counter. No, you drink, but you have it doesn't work because a proper tea party doesn't work that way.
No, and goes on for longer than the time it takes to drink a cup of tea as well.
Yes, the best part of playtesting this game is that I had a lot of tea party. I actually discovered the IT one by playtesting.
I'm really pleased. This sounds very sweet. And with that in mind, you know, I want to get this out to the world. So tell us about how the Kickstarter is going to run.
We are planning, we are doing the ZineQuest, of course. You mentioned it at the start. Yes. We're actually planning to print out two signs. One would be the core of the game.
Yeah.
The other one would be a collection of scenarios of the game.
Right.
So the core game has one scenario, the basic one, you can play, and the other one has a collection of scenarios. Some are mine, some are from other contributors.
Yeah.
We are reaching right now both from Italy and from English-speaking contributors.
Amazing.
We are the digital version of the scenario book would be free. Freely available after the campaign,
mm-hmm.
mainly because I already received some of the scenario and they are too good to keep them beyond a paywall, and also because you can read the materials and get an idea how the games works, yeah. and whether it it's good for you or not.
That's fantastic. Are you publishing in both English and Italian, or have you lumped for one?
Most certainly, yes. We are still evaluating this. Maybe Italian will come after the Kickstarter campaign with only Italian-only edition.
Yeah.
It's mostly depend if annual fairs in Italy will resume, but it's probably not because, you know. So probably the Kickstarter will feature both languages, if sensible.
And you've spoken about some of your collaborators there. Do you have any that you want to particularly name drop?
One is I have only two people confirmed so far, but I can name it.
Mm-hmm.
So one is Claudio Serena, is an Italian writer. He recently won the role playing game of the year in Italy with his game Not the End. The other is from Stefano Burchi. If I may, Stefano is going to publish soon, I hope, a game about the Stonewall Riots.
Yeah, sounds familiar. Yeah,
it's a very intense game.
Cool. I'll definitely look out for that. That sounds cool. Oh, that's great. Are you doing any stretch goals to get like further collaborators, or are you keeping it simple?
Yes, I think the stretch goal will be mainly oriented to having more people to join the campaign if they are willing to.
Yeah.
And increase the share through the collaborator.
Always support that and endorse that. That's a good way to get people on side as well, especially in the indie scene. So yeah, kudos. Well, I think that sounds really amazing and I'd love people to go out and back it. Do you want to tell us when we can do that?
Week 3 on the Zine Quest.
So Eduardo, do you want to tell us where we can find you online?
You can find me on Twitter. At @nuclear_manatee,
mm-hmm.
and with the same handle, I just opened an Instagram account.
Yeah,
I have a very talented artist for the game, Francesca Da Sacco.
Yeah,
she wrote a comic book with one of the main inspiration of the game, actually.
Okay,
so I plan to post all the work in progress, all the sketches on all the finished illustrations from her in the Instagram account from now on until the...
Definitely sounds worthwhile checking that out, yeah. And you said you had a blog as well. Do you want to give us the details of that?
Yes, it's Italian only, but it's named Storie di Ruolo.
Cool. Enormously good luck with your Kickstarter because it sounds fantastic and it's definitely the kind of game that I would like to look at and play. And it sounds like it's going to be really beautifully illustrated as well. So yeah, good luck.
Thank you.
All that remains for me is to say thank you very much for coming on Yes Indeed Pod, and I hope to speak to you again in the future.
Thank you for having me.
Yes Indeed Pod is hosted and edited by Mark Shepherd of Marks of High Water. You can contact the show on Twitter at YesIndeedPod, that's YesIndeedPod, or support the show by leaving a rating or review or donating through Ko-Fi at YesIndeedPod. Intro and outro music is from Take a Chance, and interstitial music is from BitQuest, both by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com and Filmmusic.io. Until next time, remember, does indie need you? Yes, indeed.